Would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to Almost the Podcast, episode 169 with Paul and Barry and our chauffeur for the day, Gary.
Yeah, our Uber driver.
Hello.
Gary the Uber driver, there we go.
He's really an Uber driver, isn't
he? Welcome, listeners.
He's a scarier driver than an Uber driver.
Good morning or maybe evening, depending on when you're listening.
listening now. That's why they're listening, today. Mm-hmm. Won't be out today. So what have we been doing today, Paul, then?
We have just attended and played in Barry's UKGT.
Not LGT, BQT.
QT.
UKGT. Because it's in the UK.
Yep.
It's a GT.
Yep.
It's not been named. I mean, nobody's nicked that name yet, so I've nicked it.
Yep.
So. I mean, there's UKGTs for every other system.
Yeah.
No war machine one. We had 14 of 16 turn up, which is alright.
It's alright.
Gym wasn't needed, as in his spare play capacity. Mm-hmm. And we used Paul's rule pack for our sins.
Yeah.
It's a big rule pack, isn't it, yours? Jeez, 30 odd pages or something. So I trimmed it down and just printed what I needed. And
then
it turned out I didn't print what I needed because they didn't have the scoring on it properly.
Yeah.
We played three rounds pitch battle. And then incursion, and then what's the third one called?
Taken hold.
Right. So we played in a place called Daventry, which is, not disparaging Daventry, but I didn't have a fucking clue where it was.
Daventry. No, I don't know what Daventry's famous for. Yeah.
Being near to Coventry and sounding a bit like Coventry, without actually being Coventry.
It's not Coventry, it's Daventry, and that's what Daventry's famous for.
I think there might be a rail depot there, it's a logistics place outside Coventry.
Yep.
And that's it. But the venue's fantastic. It's a
It's
got a really well stocked shop.
Very well stocked.
They charge nothing for the table. Do you know what a table fee is for if you turn up there and you say, I'm going to play all day today from 9 till 6?
£5?
£2.50 a player.
£2.50 a player, yeah.
Play as long as you want. We had to pay a bit more because we were hiring the venue, so I think it was a whole £5 a player and then another £5 for lunch, and then there was some money for prize support and dice and shit.
So did they lay on the catering or did you contact the
No, I think it's a contact at them that does the catering.
Yeah.
And you do it through them. So, if people are interested, and it's not hidden, I got the information from the Epic guys when they ran their event. The venue's only £5 a day to hire. The food, if you want the food, is another £5 a head. So, you can run an event there for not very much money at all.
Food was fine.
It's all right. There's plenty of fruit for Paul because he loves a bit of fruit.
Yeah. I've saved the apples on the way back.
The only problem is it's as central as it is, it's in that kind of location that's near nobody.
It's close for no one.
It's not a million miles from anyone, but it's actually near to no one. Maybe it'd be better to have somewhere a little bit more local for us, so at least we're near to it.
Well, if you're running the event, then it's quite inconvenient yourself, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's it's not quite a couple of hours each way.
Yeah.
Not with the way Gary drives, anyway.
The Uber driver.
When we get out of this average speed cameras.
Yeah.
I got us here efficiently.
Until I got us lost, as usual, because I was too busy chatting to look that we went 20 miles past the junction. Look, they're putting in these bastard smart motorways. You're going to have to take them out as soon as you put them in.
Yeah.
They're so dangerous, these things. What happens if you break? I don't know if I told this story before, but I was travelling with my wife and kids, and we were on one of these smart motorways, M6, I think it was. And she asked me, "What happens if we break down?" And I said, "Oh, well, you find a lay-by, and what if there's not a lay-by?" So I said, "I don't know. Why don't you look it up on the website?" And the website from the highways agency said, "Most breakdowns can be avoided. Try not to break down." You're like, "Well, what? I'm breaking down. What am I supposed to do?" Well, don't break down. You don't want to break down.
Service your car beforehand? I don't know.
Well, I've got a puncture. Well, don't get a puncture. It's like, where the fuck am I supposed to stop? There's nowhere to stop. That was literally the advice. Yeah. He said, try not to break down.
Yeah.
Like, cheers, mate.
I mean, that's good advice. I should start doing that at work. Like, to patients, just don't get sick.
That's it, mate. Yeah, like, you don't want to get sick.
You want to get, well, just don't get sick.
I mean, you can do things to stop you getting sick. Don't eat so much. Don't drink so much. Yeah. Stop smoking.
So, yeah, like, stop coming here with your problems.
There you go. We don't need a hospital because we stop people getting sick.
Exactly, exactly. We're going to lay off some staff, have less capacity because we're going to put the emphasis more on you.
Yeah. The individual.
Yeah.
Right, so anyway, that's enough of shit. We played three scenarios. First one was pitch battle.
Yes.
The old chestnut.
Yes, indeed. Nothing wrong with it.
It went out quite well.
Yeah.
It's easy to play. We did that. If you're used to using the ones in the compendium, kind of, even though there's a scoring
system. We recommend you don't.
There's a scoring system. In the way we play, a break always wins.
Yeah.
So even if you're 8-0 down on the scenario or whatever, if you manage to break the opponent, you've won. That's it. Yeah. You get 10 points, they get, if they had 8, they get 8. Whatever. It just seems like the best way to play the game, in my opinion.
Because it can stop a weird result where you want to be broken despite you, like, being ahead. So if you get ahead on scenario, you want to, like, oh, let me I want him to kill my general, so I'll win there.
So what I will do is I'll reverse him backwards with my general in a unit of nobblers or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Next to something that has to initiative charge me.
They can't go in nobblers, by the way, rogue generals. If they could. Goblins. Gobobblins.
Yeah.
And so who did you play round one, Paul?
So I'm using a Skaven list, and I'm using the highest break Skaven list I've done, which is breakpoint 20.
It sounds like a mistake to me.
28 clan rat units.
Maybe there was somebody else in the event that had a slightly better Skaven list.
Maybe there was, that needs not to be mentioned. So I took 28 clan rats, 8 rat swarms, 3 plague monks. They were the best. They were good. And then the full set of characters, which is a Greyseer, 4 heroes, and 2 wizards.
So why were they the best? Just because they're cheaper than Fanatics and Fanatics, basically?
They're the same points as Fanatics, but it's because that this such a build wants to peace trade. You know, as in, I will lose a unit to do damage to a unit. So if I keep a ratio of 1-1, I'll win because I've got the highest break going. And the Plague Monks facilitate that quite nicely because they hit really hard with they've got 18 dice on a charge. They'll do something to something else. And it doesn't matter if they get killed at the same time because you've got more.
So how many of those are you allowed? Is it 1 per 1,000, 2 per 1,000, 4 per 1,000?
I think it's 2 per 1,000. I think you can take 4 units.
I would have to look. I think I might be right. Yeah. I think the other guy, he went down the Plague Monks and the Rat Ogres and the Doom Wheel kind of...
His break was 15, yeah.
Yeah, so much smaller break, but much better pieces to fight with.
Yeah, yeah. And so I played, in pitch battle, I played against... check here. Murray's Orcs and Goblins.
Right.
Pretty standard Orc and Goblin list. It had 6 boar boys in it. Didn't take 2 Wyverns, took 1. I took 6 Orc Warriors in that. It's a breakpoint 11 Orc and Goblin list. Pretty, yeah, it's like run of the mill. It was a bad matchup for him because, like, boar boy riders, like, they only have 3 hits, they only have 5 up armour, they'll charge in, they'll mess up while they charge in, but they will get hit back, and then I can attrition him out. When I've got 9 more break than him, it went nicely for me. We played the game, a comfortable win for me. I still had quite a lot of break left at the end of it. And there was some moments that went well
for
me.
Did Orkson do not have like 4 wizards or anything?
He took 4 spellcasters. Yeah,
because they had the ball of the line of flame. Could that not cause havoc in Skaven brigades?
Do Orks have that one, like Foot of Gork? Is it? They
had a line of flame or what?
But he was casting Geralt all the time, and I think because most people think that is the best spell for Orcs and Goblins to cast.
It is against elite stuff.
It did break up some of my brigades, but again, it's like I've still got more. It's they're not dead; they're just pushed back. So I can I've got some reserve characters. One of my heroes was just basically reordering back up the Geroft clam rat units.
Yeah,
get back up the table.
I mean, I'm doing it off my head, but I'm pretty sure they have the is it like a fireball flight? It is, so it's a 30 centimeter straight line, and it's three hits, but you get armor saves.
Yeah, that's a common spell. I think if orcs and goblins have it, that is a very good one against escape brigades.
Because you can batter through like 12 units.
Yeah, yeah, and then your chances are you confuse quite a few of them.
Yeah, and then they can't be ordered because they're confused and it all breaks the brigades to pieces.
Yeah, exactly.
I think Challenge did something similar.
Yeah, he did.
With Witch Hunters.
Using,
Dogs of War or whatever it was he beat you with last time.
Yeah. But yeah, it was cool. It was notable moments for me. It's like we played on the table that I'd brought along, and his chariots had like, he realised he'd positioned the chariots in there and played close to bits of scenery they couldn't go in. And that was like kind of nerfed them, his 2 units of chariots, because they couldn't fight where they were. And I was always going to get charged by the ball riders, you know, which all came in. But he got 4 units in out of 6, and I managed to soak up the casualties and countercharge them. And then I took out a brigade of orcs and goblins that were in a defended position after several turns of protracted combat. And I just managed to form up some massive lines for my Skaven, like huge, like line across the table of Skaven at one point, like
nice.
going long ways across the table.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a strong game.
Attention! If you need to get your miniatures safely from point A to point B, then get yourself a KR Multicase. KR Multicases come in all manner of different shapes and sizes, and have gamer-friendly pricing. So do yourself a favour and get yourself a KR Multicase today! Soft foam, hard cases.
Right, so Gary, what was your first game then?
My first game, I played Chaos, and I'm a very new player. The first game today was...
So your list is like a standard, what do they call it, like a heavy metal list, isn't it? So it's like a small break, but everything's like maximum armor, like Chaos Knights, Chaos Warriors.
Yeah, it's the kind of bog standard Chaos stuff, nothing too special in there.
Hounds hidden away, hopefully.
Yeah, just tucked around the back, trying not to die. 5 lost Chaos Warriors.
And you were playing against another Chaos army.
Yeah.
So that really is just like, because there's no finesse in this game, is it? It's just, you're just running at each other.
Yeah, it was like unstoppable object meets immovable object, whatever it is. And I ran 5 Chaos Warriors, 5 Marauders, 2 Warriors.
Two Knights.
2 Knights.
Yeah.
1 Chaos Spawn, 1 Hero, 1 Wizard, 1 General.
4 Doggies.
And 4 Doggies for the break.
So where did you hide the Spawn?
The Spawn lived in a big brigade with 2 Warriors and 2 Marauders most of the time.
Right, in line then?
Yeah.
Okay, with him on the end.
Yeah.
Or was it in the middle or on the end?
In the middle,
nice, nice.
But yeah, I'm quite a new player, so this was like the first game today was my 3rd game ever.
Did you find with the Spawn that it didn't really cause that much terror because it doesn't touch very much?
No, people tended to just charge the edges of that brigade and miss the Spawn. It did some work in the final game, but in my first game, it don't think it even got into combat.
It's only 20 mil wide, isn't it?
Yeah.
So when it comes in, it's only, unless you're charging cavalry, it's only really touching one stand of infantry, I think, with the terror.
Yeah.
I always find it a bit underwhelming. It's got some shooting attacks and it tends to live, but it just doesn't tend to do a great deal, I find.
Yeah, I definitely learned some stuff about my army list today that I'm going to swapping some things about.
Because maybe the Spawn, you could like get a Chaos Dragon or something for the similar points.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't field any Harpies either. In my first game, one of the tactics that was used against me really well was having a unit of Knights with a Dragon in charge me.
In the front.
In the front, and then Harpies directly behind me. So, got charged by that, got vaporized.
A classic move.
I mean, it's as old as Bloody Adam, but I don't know how you defend against it, because, I mean, the Harpies can move 100, they only need one order, and then they're behind.
Tail as old as time.
And you don't commit them until you've gone in the front.
Beauty and the Beast.
So you charged in the front and then moved the Harpies round the back, or you did it the other way round?
I'm not sure. was sort of a bit surprised by everything to do for me. That was, might be an old tactic, but it was new to me. I was like, oh no.
Oh no, all my stuff's dying.
Oh dear.
I mean, you can get the old rubber land syndrome and they can bounce off, but it kind of, I find it a bit painful that Chaos Knights suffer from terror. It just feels a bit weird. But everything suffers from terror, even apart from Wood Elfy stuff.
Yeah.
Wood Elfy, and demons.
So yeah, he's kind of marched towards each other. And his terror-causing dragon made a bit of a difference. There was a moment where a tide could have turned, where one of my units of knights charged into the rear of his units of knights and dragon, and just rolled extremely badly, and all died.
The old rubber lance. I mean, that should be yours. Although it's not as one-sided as you think, though, is it? Because he's got terror.
Yeah.
So, and more attacks because he's got dragon.
Charging up behind him, I was hoping for the best. Didn't happen.
So you were going yeah.
And he gradually sort of whittled me down, and I think I ended up with I'd lost my nine. I think I'd maybe killed four of his units, maybe. So yeah, that was that for the first.
I've got number 8-9. That's quite big.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
That is quite big for Chaos.
I think Marauders are a lot cheaper than what people realise. You can actually build up quite a big break on Chaos if you filled all the Hounds and the Marauders.
Right.
But yeah, so that was that game.
Okay, good. So how the day worked is that it only really mattered if you went 3-0, you got some special gold dice if you went 3-0, and if you, the best painted got some gold dice. But everything else was given away at lunch, so we had everybody got a little player pack with some stuff from Cromedy Forge.
Very cool little Cromedy Forge prize.
Was it? Super exclusive, not released magic item tokens.
Yeah. Definitely going to use them.
And then there was some stuff from RPG Prints. There was were they a pack of Saurus each? I didn't get
my Saurus. Yeah. Nice. And then the Forest Dragon Prints.
Nice. And then there was some stuff from Symbol and Games and the event dice. So that's cool. And then we did the raffle. Jammers won.
Yeah, also, of course he did.
he won the top KR prize. There were three KR bags, and there was an Albion army from John at Cromedy Forge. Yeah. Who, I can't remember who won that.
No, can't remember.
And then the better Skaven player at the tournament.
Spoiler.
he won the Black Gate Ogre army. Which no doubt he's going to crush everybody with then, but as we'll find out soon. And we had a reasonable lunch. It was all right.
Yeah, it's fine. It's like no problem at all with a lunch. Yeah. Okay. I enjoyed the baked potato.
Don't know if it was worth a fiver a head, but that's what it costs.
No, Barry, but it's no one disappears off to get anything.
So it's a big thing because the one thing we didn't have was time on our hands because the venue's only 9 to 6. By the time you've done registration and awards and you've played. What's that, 7.5 hours of gaming?
Yeah.
There ain't much time left for anything.
Yeah, yeah, and Barry's on an agenda to get back for the Champions League final.
Well, So it worked all right. We only had half an hour for lunch, but it was all right. I don't know what your jacket potato was like, but at least
it's fine. It's fine. Like, yeah, I don't.
You had that as well, did you?
Yeah, I had that. Yeah.
Well, and your dinner.
Well, I didn't eat the sandwiches out of mine. I'm not, because none of them were peanut butter sandwiches.
Well, you don't eat peanut butter sandwiches.
No, I'm just not a great fan of other sandwiches. So,
you
like,
eat peanut butter sandwiches.
Yeah, I love peanut butter sandwiches.
Well, you're not allowed to eat them in public now. You're arrested.
Because
peanut allergies.
Well, I haven't got a peanut allergy.
But other people have peanut allergies.
Well, you know, that ain't my problem. They're not eating my sandwiches, are they?
You only have to breathe on them.
All right.
Yeah. So, Paul only eats peanut butter sandwiches, apparently.
No, it's not only eat them, but that's like, you know. Anyway, never matter. The food was fine, do that again.
Do that again. Well, if we're there again, we'll do it again.
Yeah.
And then the second round was Incursion, which has been rebooted by Jim and Sherwin.
Did you have any feedback on the scenario? Well,
the feedback was. We'll get to that. why is everything in centimetres and then the map's in inches? It's like, what's going on here?
Yeah, true.
So that needs to be changed. And the scoring's changed. So it used to be 1 to 5. You scored 1 point.
Yeah.
And it was only on your turn. But now it's moved to 10 points and you score both turns.
Yep.
So we have three objective markers, one of them disappears, and then, yeah, basically you fight over the other two. It's quite a nice scenario. It kind of encourages people to fight and not just sit in the back. We did have, I mean, he was pretty positive, the fella, about most things, but he was very, very glowing about the scenario. He said it was the best scenario he's ever played, sir.
Ah!
For any game system ever.
Ah! And which rules set was this being played from? Which tournament pack? What was it called?
Egomania 2020 or something.
I mean, being told it's the best one they've ever played, that's pretty high praise.
I mean,
isn't it?
It's lucky it wasn't that crazy random deployment with traitors. Yeah. This is the worst fucking gaming experience I've ever heard. Random deployment with traitors. What is this fucking rubbish? So I was quite conservative with the small C, because I really are conservative with a big C. So yeah, big good feedback for you there, Paul. He said it was the best scenario he'd ever. He did say that War Machine was War Master. Sorry, did it again? That slid. War Master was the best game ever written. And our version was like the best version of the best game. So
the best of the best.
Best
Top
best.
Gun.
He was super boosty. So that's good. Mm-hmm. We like a bit of boosting.
Yeah.
So how did you get on game two then, Paul?
So I was playing against Steve's Wood Elves.
Oh.
And yeah, so
Wood Elves. Best painted Wood Elves.
Yeah, best painted. So you would think that, okay, so what was his Wood Elf list? It was only Breakpoint 9.
What was his Wood Elf list?
He had two units of the Treekin, Dryads.
He had more than two units of them, didn't he?
Yeah, more than two. Yeah, no.
I think he was all wood.
It was like a heavily wood list. So he only had the archers as the elf
and the type. And the pterodons. Well, only one unit.
Yeah, and the Warhawk riders. Yeah, and he'd taken four units of wild riders.
Who are immune to terror?
Yeah, immune to terror. Yeah.
And all the wood, which is immune to terror.
Yeah. So. But it's only Breakpoint 9, you know. And I was going into that, I was pretty confident. I was like,
a little bit overconfident.
I'm pretty overconfident, yeah, with that one.
This is give me.
Yeah, I was like, I was already looking to the final against Janus, you know, like at that point. So like, yeah, we had incursion. Like, I set up my army to three big brigades to go after each of the objectives. Then top of turn two, the one that he's not really going to contest goes away, sadly, but then the breaks. And I just had one of those games where every like 50-50 roll goes against you. So like every time that, like, oh, I need one more wounded to cause a casualty, he doesn't get it. You know, like, and so the, like, I would have said Steve was having the run of the dice, definitely. But he, you know, so I kept my, you know, I had formed up a big log line on my Skaven. He attacked the extreme flank of it with two units of Wild Riders and did a thing that played really nicely for him. He then fired some archers at the closest thing, the next unit in, which made them confused, and that allowed him, like, he rolled quite well and I didn't roll well.
So let's talk about that tactic for a second. So yeah. Because he charged in your flank.
No, he charged in my front, but he's at the end of my line.
So then how did he pick stuff that was further in and therefore couldn't be supporting?
Well, he obviously couldn't shoot the supporting stands on the down the further line, but the next unit that wasn't involved in the combat.
So they were in your rights were in line.
Yeah, my rights are in columns.
So he can't shoot they're in column.
Yeah. So he hit the unit closest to the fight as possible, and he
that wasn't involved
that
in
wasn't
the
involved
fight,
in the
and
fight.
That therefore meant you
got
couldn't
them confused.
You couldn't push into them.
Yeah,
then.
And that made like a nice like thing for him to pivot round. So I was going to need two orders to counterattack.
Right. You know, I thought he was using it to roll you into and kill you, but he wasn't.
No.
He was just breaking up the fight.
Just breaking up. But just, you know, I think it was an accidental tactic, but it worked really well. You know, so these Wild Riders started munching on my flank, and then we had a big, huge combat where he put in... He was the only person of the day that I played against my three games who reorganised his army against mine. So, like, he used the archers as infantry, like, as charging infantry, and he came and they would, you know, and they came in and hit me with all of the trees, a Treeman Ancient, put his characters into it.
Oh, including actually, what did he do with the Treeman Ancient? Because I haven't seen people use that very often.
Oh, it's running by itself, you know, and he got it into fight.
So, you know, that's the equivalent of a giant, is it?
Yeah, a giant, yeah, yeah. Okay. And, and also, use the archers as well in favourable fights where they could like attack but be attacked with not much back. And I was like, oh, okay, here he comes. And I was like, again, I was still confident because I was like, well, I'm going to attrition him out here. I'll lose a lot of stuff, but my break is over twice his, 9 to 20. You know, and I was like, every stand, I'd even trade a unit for a stand in this matchup. But it just didn't, you know, the attrition balled down and I basically lost too much. You know, like, so he did the right thing. He hit enough of my line with enough stuff to matter that I couldn't then cast.
But this was opposite to how Janus played. He wasn't defending against you. He was charging you.
He came in at me. And it obviously, when you go for that, like if you might pass the first order and send, say, two units of cavalry in, you then need to pass the other orders to get the rest of the stuff in to matter. It's like, but it's, you know, it's then, you know, and which he did. You know, and then on the other end, so my brigade that is opposite now, an objective that had been taken away, you know, he repositioned his wild riders, and I also rolled badly with my orders, and so my left flank never did anything in the entire game. You know, like they couldn't go and get an objective, they couldn't come back across to my center. I tried, but you know, I did not roll well.
What about spells? Any shenaniganry?
He made good use of the defended spell, the new Wood Elf spell.
The Mists of Albion spell.
Where it makes a unit defended.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not the name of a Mists of Albion. That's just the one it was templated on, I think.
In the key first combat of how badly or how much is he going to do on the initial charge, he made one of his units defended. So that the tree kid. So I limited the amount of damage I could do back to them.
Nice.
It was good. It's like when you like. So I lost this game, but like when you're beaten by somebody who's like, here's my army, here's the problem I'm giving you. Do you have a solution? Yeah, you thought up a solution. Well done, you. It's like, yeah, it's I was like, well done. It's like, yeah, I said to Steve, like, that was really well played. Well done, you.
And you were beat by a guy with a better looking army as well. So he was the only. He was one of the winners of the gold dice for the best painted army. Yeah. So well done, Steve. But I think Steve unbelievably lost round one.
He had, yeah. So he was.
He was playing up.
He was playing up. He played against another Wood Elf player, and he'd lost that matchup.
Okay. Yeah. And it was a different build, I think. I think it was the less woody build.
Yeah.
More meaty. Well, not as much meat on an elf, but for whatever.
If I had that game again, I would probably do the same things. I wouldn't be as overconfident, but I would do the same things. And I think on a different day, the dice might have fallen differently and I'd come away with it. But never mind, yeah.
I mean, that's the true sign of madness, isn't it? Yeah. So what have you learned from the game? Nothing. I'd have to know all again. I regret nothing.
All guidelines were followed. You know, like, I've apologised. I've paid a fine. What more do you want?
He humbled me and I move along.
Now look at something else.
Move along. Yeah. So, no learns for you there, sir.
I did everything right, but I still lost. That is not losing, that's life.
Brilliant. Gary, who did you play round two? Is it Mr. Kit Kat?
Yes, it was, yeah.
Fantastic name. I did think when I first saw the name, that it was like some Hollywood name. But it's apparently his name is Mr. Kit Kat.
So he was playing two kings.
Five chariot version, isn't it?
Oh, yes. And I've never played against anything with chariots ever before, and it was a rude awakening.
They are good, by the way, these two king chariots.
Yeah,
so opening order of the game, I blundered on my brigade of two chaos knights.
Nice.
You didn't roll the negative command, did you?
They charged forward at full pelt.
Yes.
Into the initiative range.
Of the chariots. Nice.
That had a dragon with them.
Nice.
And we're on the receiving end of, I think it was 37 attacks.
Nice.
And we're pretty much wiped out.
Did you all raise dead in the back just to make sure, just give you a good shellacking?
No. Well, Magic sort of was a bit duff in this game. I think he only managed to pull off one raise dead. And there were no other spells in the whole game.
He cast it once.
Because he's got the actual. And if you read it, it says, this spell fucks chaos. Please cast me on a 4+. Where it's that you can't charge or pursue.
Only got it off once, and it didn't really make a difference to what was going on. So I was quite lucky in that.
Range 60, Doom and Despair, or something it's called, isn't it? Is that right, Paul? Doom and Despair?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Range 60, four yeah. up.
Four up, don't charge.
You can't charge, and that's what my Chaos Knight's going to do now.
Yeah, well, not charge.
And he normally has four wizards. The normal Tomb King build has four wizards. So you're, on average, your two units of Chaos Knights never see combat.
Yeah.
No, they did all right in the third game, but yeah, they weren't that great. And then basically the game was won on objectives, because he managed to get his stuff further forward at the start, past all three objectives, which were along the kind of centre line of the table.
Yep, that's the
plan. And I never managed to get past them to get any objectives at all, really.
Wow.
One of the objectives disappeared.
Disappears,
as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, one of the objectives, because I couldn't get past what was going on, I was sort of gradually chipping away, but wasn't enough time. We actually ran out of time in the end.
So, see, that kind of scenario punishes your build, because not everything you've got can fight. Like, the dogs really don't want to be fighting.
Yeah,
but if they have to fight, they will. But they're hiding more than fighting. So you haven't got that many units to actually get out and fight with.
Yeah, because he made it past all the objectives with his chariots quite early on.
And he'd taken away your knights.
I couldn't get past him to get to the objective, so he just kept ticking up the victory points.
Yeah, okay, you can get away quite quickly, the scenario.
Yeah, you got to contest it.
But if he's passed it, you can't even contest it, can you?
Yeah, it's difficult. Defense death.
Yeah, I mean, it was like when I was watching Game 3 with Janice, the spawn were on the objectives, and the battle line was like 60 centimetres in front of the spawn, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
If you saw it, the Skaven trying to kill the ogres in the fight. Anyway, but that's not where we're at. So you lost Game 2 as well.
Yeah, and again, a dragon with terror was part of my downfall. Two games in a row, Dragons and Terror.
Painting
up shortly.
I mean, some people, there was a high elf player kicking around who almost got some gold dice. He lost to Steve in round 3. He had the double dragon list.
Classic.
I mean, like the double with an old list. Yeah. I mean, you're putting a lot of points into characters.
Yeah.
And in certain matchups, the dragons don't do anything because there's no terror. Against demons, against that wood elf build, there's quite a lot of stuff that don't care about terror. So, obviously against things like dwarves, it can do, or other elves, it can do serious work. But empire can do work. But, yeah. Undead, of course, vampire counts, tomb kings, terror does nothing.
Yeah.
Round 3. Going into round 3, there were 3 people unbeaten. There was, I can't remember names now, can I? With the curse.
Janice.
I know him. So Janice with ogres, god damn him. With no Rhinox riders, obviously, because they're too expensive. And just seeing Janice's list, I mean, I already knew they were too expensive, but they are. I mean, if he's not using them, you know they're overcosted, because if they were feasible, he'd be using them. Because he left himself with no cavalry at all. And lots of people have lots of cavalry, so there was Janus with ogres, which I'll post the list online because Janus is Janus. And there was the good Skaven player with a good Skaven list. And then there was a high elf player whose name I can't remember, and he was playing Steven. I only know that because I've known Steven a long time. So there was an elf off, a wood elf against a high elf off, and there was a Skaven against ogre off on the top tables.
Yeah.
And then Paul was a little bit further down on a one-on-one table.
Yes, I was.
And you were playing who?
So this scenario was taking hold, and I was playing against Have a Break Kit Kat. He was using the two kings of the army that Gary just played.
But he has definitely not got the numbers on you.
No. His breakpoint was 12. Again, he's like, there's 5 units of chariots are a thing. But I find they just didn't impact as well. So advancing, broke my arm into 3 brigades to go off the 3 objectives that I score on. And then keeping them together, moving one order a turn up. He comes in with his 5 chariots, but he's spaced them out too much. They weren't mutually supporting enough. And one fight went really well for him, but another fight didn't. And that allowed me to counter, to win a fight and come out and counter, onto another. Yeah, it was a bit of a crushing, really. Like I still had tons of break at the end, and I talked him through how he could have set up his brigades differently. Like if he'd put a unit of infantry, like a unit of two skeleton warriors, then a unit of chariots, then another unit of skeleton warriors, a unit of chariots, like in a so the infantry are in column and the chariots are obviously in line. It looks weird. You're going to give up the chariot's range of 30 as a charge, but if you keep them together, that gives the most amount of attacks on the smallest frontage that he had, and then that would allow you to like deal with the Skaven numbers, perhaps. You know, and you need to. And so basically, he used his archers as archers, where there's just a bad matchup for him, really. Because
well, if you think about the weaknesses of Tomb Kings, yeah. They might as well say see Skaven, because. Yeah. What are you going to do? Your stuff is absolute shit. You've got two attacks. Yeah. Skaven are going to beat you up in combat.
Yeah, and I've got more of it.
So even if your chariots kill two units each, it doesn't matter. I've got to swamp you.
Yeah.
Raise dead. Oh, well, you'll just bring more Skaven in. I don't want to raise dead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, so once I dealt with these five units of chariots, he didn't really have any teeth left in his army that was going to affect me.
Well, that's the only thing with any punch on that art list, isn't it? In Tomb Kings list. So once you've got rid of that, that's already 600 points gone, a third of the army, and then the rest of the army just chaff.
He committed the zombie dragon, but I managed to like catch that and build it and destroy it out.
What? Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Like, destroyed the unit it was in, wow. You know, like, with my counter-charging. You know, the thing of enveloping it, which is the thing that I didn't get the chance to do against Steve's Wood Elves, enveloping. So
that's normally what Tomb Kings do. They envelop you, even though the stuff's rubbish. There's so much of it, they just swallow you up. But you're swallowing it up.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's even rubbisher than you.
Yeah.
Like two attacks.
Yeah, it's not. That's not going to get their way through the units. So because I was beating him in the fight, I could dominate on the objectives, and I won that game by objective scoring.
Huh?
Yeah. Hey, man. You seen those 10mm ogres, man? I gotta get me some of those sweet ass 10mm ogres, man. I could brother up, man, I'm jonesing.
Quit your jibber jabber, fool, and get yourself to blackgateminiatures.com. That's blackgateminiatures.com.
Right, so Gary, game three you were playing, and I actually remember his name, so this is how hit and miss my memory is. I think his name was Danny, couldn't tell you his surname, played with demons, Blackgate demons, no doubt, and he was super successful with them. So, a multicoloured affair. Very nice demons.
Demons of many colours.
The spawn were about as useful as I find the spawn.
Yeah,
they stayed
don't
home.
Really, like, they're a difficult unit, aren't they? Yeah. I mean,
they're not as cheap as your fucking spawn. 25. How do escaping spawn 25 points?
Well, they don't do anything.
Well, neither did the other spawn. They got 40 points. They still don't do anything.
Yeah, but that spawn's immune to terror.
Right, and? Well, what are you doing fighting with it?
Well, no, but like, if you play, like, need something to hold an objective, then they're as good as anything else, aren't they?
Well, they're as good as anything else that's rubbish with no armor and four wounds. Yeah. If you just want pummeling, yeah. Here's a 40-point unit you can pummel, or a 25-point unit you can pummel.
Yeah.
Anyway, 40 points. Get in the subs bench. We'll find a we'll sign a job for you one day. But yeah. Anyway, so you were playing a demon player, Danny.
Yeah, he was having a bad day. But
he was having a bad day. You'll get that blame demon. You get that blame demon.
Yeah, he's just failing his dice rolls all over the place. Unfortunately, did okay though. Like, we had a good game. I ended up winning. But
on objectives?
On objectives, I learned my lessons from the second game.
Well, that's a good point. So get in front of the objectives.
I got up on the objectives and put walls of warriors in front of the objectives. And he did crush my centre, but there were no real objectives in the centre. So
right.
A lot of his force was committed to that, and he crushed a big unit, a big brigade of warriors and marauders. But it was to no avail.
See, that's it. We've played a few games of Epic, me and Gary, and me and Paul recently, and been to some events. But in Epic, you can lose your entire army and still win on scenario.
Yeah, who cares about that?
Exactly, and so that's when you're playing a scenario, you have to think, unless you, because we do have a thing where you can actually break and still lose, so you can't afford to get broken, but losses are just accepted, you know, like, whatever. You've lost the centre but won the scenario, which is what you want to do. I think he was the fella was struggling with the instability, and I did have a little game up during the day with Jim because he was a spare player and he ended up not playing. So we did play one Dogs of War with the new Super Pikemen against my demons, and I rolled early on. I rolled three instabilities and lost three units because I rolled three ones. It's like, meh. I think I'd lost four units. Jim had killed one and I'd killed three.
Good.
Because in a normal army, you just run them away, don't you? You've got one stand left, run it away, hide it. No, we're demons. You have to keep it near a wizard and then pray to the gods. One thing, the new pikemen are very strong. I'm not saying that they shouldn't have 5-up armour, but we'll see if they end up having to pay for it in more points, because it's very strong, a short base on 5-up armour. Have you played against them yet, Paul?
I guess you just have to imagine them as cavalry, don't you? Cavalry.
Yeah, but that's exactly what they are. They're 3-3-5 cavalry, but yeah. 60 points.
Yeah.
And they can be defended. And of course they've got a big flank, but everything's got a big flank. I mean, the argument that they die if they get hit in the flank, everything gets fucking killed if it gets hit in the flank. What survives in the... Even your Chaos Warriors got fucking killed when they get hit in the flank.
Yeah,
nothing lives hit in the flank. If you put a unit of hounds, they put 12 attacks into the flank of a Chaos Warrior unit in line. Well, Chaos Warrior's got 3 attacks back, hasn't he?
Yes.
He's got to lose. So anyway, so they're better now, pikemen, and they are the signature list of the Dogs of War army, so they do need to be usable.
Yeah.
So I've got no problem with them having 5-up armour, but maybe they have to be a bit more expensive to...
Yeah, maybe.
Because what they are now is very, very good on offence.
Yeah.
So you expect them to be good on defence, but because of the short base, when they come and hit you, they're putting a lot of weight into you. Anyway, so... Gary, you finished with 1 win and 2 losses.
Yes.
Paul was the flip side with 2 wins and a loss.
That's right.
Janice was the only person that went 3-0.
Yeah.
And I will talk about his list because I can remember most of it. Cause
well, it's not hard to remember. It's not much. Yeah, go on.
Typical Jenner's madness, isn't it? Typical Jenner's madness. So he had 4 bulls. I think that's a minimum. You've got to have 4 bulls. He had 4 iron guts.
Yeah.
I mean, they are good now, and they got a little bit of a discount. So 2 gorgers, which I guess were his token. I've got to have something to deal with cavalry somehow. 8 nobblers.
I think they were yetis, Barry.
They were. I know what the models were, but he was using crystal. They're definitely gorgers on the list.
Oh, okay.
Because what would yetis bring?
The yetis are the ones that can chase.
They're the ones they ignored command distances.
Yeah. So, gorgeous can chase.
Yeah, because gorgeous are monsters.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were definitely gorgeous. 8 nobblers. I think a relatively normal hero package with some magic items, so like a general hero and a butcher maybe. I think that was it. So his break was, he had 8, so the 10, I think his break was 9. Which is killing 9 ogres is not easy, but killing 8 nobblers is much
easier.
so when in the fight that I was watching, Janus was fighting on his baseline, basically. He did have a couple of objectives covered, and he was in terrain, but the Skaven were everywhere. It's Janus, isn't it? Some of the moves he pulls, some of the bullshittery he pulls off is just, like, unbelievable. He was just getting out the tightest situations and managing to somehow countercharge into the flank of another unit.
Yeah.
So, like, how did you manage to do that? Like, you know the kind of one we put on video where you get round the back and get to the artillery.
Yeah.
So it was a similar move to that, but he was in a fight and then he came off 20 centimeters, like, to the flank and hit something else on the flank.
Yeah.
Rather than using initiative and just going back into the fight, he'd give an order and come out at a completely different angle and catch you in the flank or the rear and roll you up. He's just a very good player.
He's good. I mean, it's a credit to the system that the same person keeps winning.
Well, it's also a credit to nothing is that bad, because we talk about tier 1, tier 2, tier fucking 22, which are ogres apparently. I mean, if you can win, and he didn't win against nobody, he played nothing.
Basically, it'd be a good video to do, Barry, is that you use Janice's ogre list.
I know I won't win with it.
Yeah, I know, but like, that's the point, isn't it? It's like, it's not like, oh, you take his list then and see how well you do. And it's like, you'll suck with it. You're like...
Would he let you film one of his games?
No, I've tried this. Years and years ago, I tried to get into it. You want to come on and discuss your tech?
No.
You only learn it by playing him.
Yeah, by losing.
And then when you've played him, you realise that you think you've got him, but you leave him an angle, and he's not just good, because... He is good, but he's got a little bit of luck about him as well.
Yeah, he's better. Yeah, he does. Yeah.
So when you think you've got him, like I said, he was getting pushed back and pushed back and pushed back, and he managed to get a fucking order off to shoot this guy off on the right hand side.
If you're playing him and he goes quiet, you know you're doing well. Like, so if he goes quiet, you've got him on tilt. He's like deep. He's going into
deep thought. He's going into deep thought.
Deep blue is going. He's turned on now, and that's when you know. Like if you begin with and he's bantering you, then you're like, oh, okay, I'm getting battered. But then if you get him to be, you can be quite quiet, you're doing well, and you're about to lose.
I lost a hell of a lot of games against him. And I think the thing that broke my duck was playing, he was Gobblins and I was High Elves, and you've beaten him a few times now.
Yeah.
But I don't think Jim ever beats him. I don't think Jim's got the killer instinct, has he?
Has Jim ever won against him in a competitive
game? No, and I think it's 80% in his head, and he goes in expecting to lose.
Yeah. Like if I had, say I'd won my second game and I was playing him in the final as the Skaven player.
You'd have still lost.
You totally. Like, but I'd have gone into that game going like, 20 break against what, 9 ogres, eight units of nobblers around. I'll get this. I've got this all day every day. I'd still lose. Yeah, I'd be like, how did that happen?
Because you fought on his terms. Because that's what he did. He went as far forward as he needed to get the objectives that he needed to win the game, which he won on objectives. Yeah. There was no break, and then he hunkered down on whatever terrain he could get, because he's infantry. So ogres in terrain are not—they're hard to shoot.
Yeah, exactly.
Iron guts in defended. Oh my god! Yeah. With support. Yeah. Oh my god! What Skaven got? They're gonna dig that out.
Getting off your death frenzy and rolling well with it.
Maybe. So if you send in your fanatics, what?
Fanatics, death frenzy.
There's no charge bonus.
No. So you
hitting on fives.
You're still gonna lose. I think only sheer numbers and getting him and getting those things from all positions would work. You know? So like engaging to the front and the flank or both flanks. Yeah.
So it's not just understanding your army; it's understanding the matchup, and you can't just beat him in the open field. You will lose.
Yeah.
So he didn't. He knew the game was going to be fought on his baseline, so he just waited on his baseline for the. Because the Skaven players thinks like you thought, I'm going to just roll you up. I can give two units for every one you've got.
And I'll still come out, yeah.
But like, it doesn't work that way. Yeah. So, well played, Janice.
Yeah.
Well played, Janice. And what else we got to talk about? So, we did the awards, we did the.
Oh, with another event being created on the fly at the event?
Yeah, I think this must have been discussed at Worcester or at Warmaster. Warmaster. That my missus was out, so I couldn't go, and I think you were at work or something.
Sadly, I got to work, yeah.
So, this is, I don't know the name of the club stroke shop, but I think it's in Walsall, West Midlands. Well, that's definitely where the event is, which is Junction 10 on the M6. And it is the 3rd, Saturday the 3rd of September.
Well, yes, but it was created today.
I think it's been discussed previously, but they cemented the details today.
Yeah, and it'll be a same rules back as the LGT.
Oh, it's the LGT practice.
Yeah, LGT practice. Yeah.
Hopefully without the traitors and other random nonsense. But, it's up to them, isn't it? Do what you want.
Yeah.
And it's on the fringe of doable in a day, like drive wise. It may be that we have to go Friday night or something, or stay over Saturday, so it's not quite so exhausting. Because getting up at 6 o'clock is a little bit tiring, and that, and if we were going further, we'd have to leave at like 5, and that's just, that's too early.
Yeah.
Or getting up at 5 to leave at 5:30 is too early.
Yeah.
I don't really enjoy the day because I'm just tired all day.
Yeah, fair enough. That's very true.
Which is probably the issue with Warmaster, which is probably why last time we went for stayed over one night.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just didn't work this year. We'll hopefully get down there with it's Ian and Steve, isn't it? To get there next year.
Yeah.
So we got the. We've got this one. I don't know the name of it.
I don't even know how it's a name. Yeah.
There you go. It's in Walsall on the 3rd of September. We've got the north of the border.
Yeah.
That's coming up in about 5 weeks.
Something
like that, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Is it less than 5 weeks?
It's less than 100 months. So hang on, I'll tell you.
It's the 28th today. What is less than
25th, 26th of July.
So 4 weeks.
4 weeks.
4 weeks. We're drinking pints of heavy.
Yeah, man, under a month. I don't know what I'm going to take, because if I had won with Skaven, I would have taken Skaven. If the other Skaven player had won, I'd have taken Skaven and maybe his, like, even his bill. So I need to take an army that can go in easily in one case. So I don't know what I'm going to take. I'm going to have to look at the Scottish events, like tournament pack, have a look at the scenarios they're choosing, and then just, I don't know, go with.
I'll tell you what surprised me about Janice. He didn't bring any of the new what are they called? Lead Belchers.
The Belchers, no.
I thought the profile was quite good for a defensive unit, but obviously he didn't have enough armour for him. Six of armour. So I'll probably bring demons, because I'm trying to play demons all year to give them a good thrashing out. Because playtesting's not about just one or two games. You've got to play an army as many games as you can. They're better than they were, demons. They've still got a loss in, a self-given loss, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like a loss that your instability just gives you. Thank you very much, instability. So it'll be very difficult to win a tournament with, because you just can't trust them.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're a million miles away from good. I just think just a little bit away from good. What else we've got to talk about, Paul?
It's not
my event, is it? You've paid for the bloody thing. I'm organising it.
Well,
it's our event.
And it's your epic event on July the 9th. Yeah.
Right, so this event, it's been a few weeks in the making, and we are further along the line than it would seem, because we're waiting for the guys at Epic UK to put it up on their website in the events section.
Yeah.
So we're running an Epic UK event using the rule set.
Yep.
It will score in their league, obviously. I'll be using a new army, obviously.
I'm probably going to go World Eaters for that, I think.
Okay. I don't think there'll be, like today, there'll not be a spare player, so there may be a bye, unfortunately.
Yeah.
We'll try and be nice about who we give the bye to. Hopefully we'll get some big wigs from the Epic UK scene to come down. So it'll be a similar deal to today, like £15. Most of that's going to the venue, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So it may be that we can't even stretch to lunch. But if we have any money whatsoever, we'll pay for lunch. Depends on numbers, because the venue's got a minimum price rather than this per player deal that we had in Daventry. It's like a fixed price for the day.
Because you've got to have the venue open the extra hours, and then it does do a price for player for an event.
So I mean, it's not a tremendous amount of money, but obviously we need a reasonable amount of players for it to work. So if you're in any way interested in Epic, firstly download the rules for free from Epic UK. If you need to borrow an army, try and come along for the 9th. It's in Colchester, which is a little bit further out than Chelmsford.
Yep.
But for most people in the south of England, it's a lot nearer than Daventry. So if there's any people in London or Kent, or obviously East Anglia, then come out and play. So it was amazing how many people today not only played Warmaster, but have at least played Epic and had a love for Epic.
Yeah.
But Epic is dead, proper dead, proper dead, with hardly any scene.
It's well organised.
Yeah, but the first tournament we went to had hardly any players.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Wasn't it? Like 7 or 8 or something like that? And they didn't have that many events on the calendar. I mean, it was just coming out of COVID, but when they went down to Bristol, I think they got quite a lot of players.
Yeah.
I think they might have even sold out.
Yeah.
So it's definitely on its way back. If you've ever been interested in small scale stuff, if you've got a 3D printer, then oh my God. Just print yourself an army and have some fun, and I'd rather play Epic than 40k any day.
Oh yeah, but it, as I said before, Epic Armageddon plays far more like 40k than 40k does.
It is a bit weird when you get, you're having to get used to the scenario that you really aren't playing a game like any normal game. You're not just trying to get on the table and blow the other team off the table. I mean, you can win that way, but most games have played on the one on the scenario.
Yeah, well, and it's just, it's got a good default scenario, so that's what you always play every time. It's like, you know, it's running an event in the scene, in that scene is easy because you know what you're gonna get.
Yeah, so there's, it's not like Paul's Pack where there's six different scenarios. That's a scenario. Yeah, yeah. There's our scoring system.
Yeah.
Depending on which turn you win in, you score more if you win in turn three.
Yeah, yeah.
And depending on how many objectives you control, that you score more for that. And it's a really good scene, and it's similar to War Master. You're not going to come across any like 16-year-old power gamers or 18. You know, like it just doesn't attract those kind of players.
And also, Epic's when they have come up against somebody who's like, in terms of found a loophole with something, they're soon quick to address it.
Yeah. I'm not saying that there aren't stronger lists than other. There are definitely, there's a hierarchy of lists. For example, like everybody plays with Space Marines to start with because everybody goes Space Marines, but they're not particularly easy to win with. It's a good game system. So if you're a loss on 9th of July,
yep,
come down and play Epic.
Yeah.
You won't regret it. But guaranteed.
Yeah.
You'll have far more fun playing Epic than you would have done playing 40k, where you're just going to rage quit over somebody with 300 guard infantry just shooting you every turn. Anyway, all right, so we're going home. We got at 7 o'clock. We're going to watch the Champions League.
Yeah.
You're going to watch it too, Paul?
I am, yeah. I'm going to watch it with Hannah because Hannah's from Liverpool, so her team's Everton. But she'll watch
Why
it.
Why is that?
Liverpool. Well, she's from Liverpool.
Right, and?
Well, people from Liverpool support Everton.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
If you like.
Only glory seekers like support Liverpool from, you know, like outside.
It's funny. they say the same thing about Man City. Yeah. Only people from Manchester support Man City.
Yeah.
But my son's never been to Manchester and he supports Man City.
There you go.
Whatever.
Like,
glory hunting pig.
Yeah.
Anyway. You watch it, Gary, or not football man?
No, I'm not a football person. I wouldn't have even known there was a game for the Big Cup tonight. If
the Big Cup.
With you.
Well, they should call it Big Ears, old Big Ears.
Yeah.
Cup. Anyway, so hopefully we win. They've beaten us the last two times, including the final 5 years ago.
Right.
So we will get back to you next time. I don't know what our next episode's about. It's not about this.
Yeah,
Is it north? Could it be north of the wall?
Could be north of the wall if we don't record before north of the wall.
Well, we could probably
find the time to do a YouTube game. Because
we had
some good feedback from that YouTube game, I think.
We did.
It's like as a method of recording a game live, you know, like how we were filming it and the detail it was being filmed in. I watched it back. I thought it was, yeah, I can follow what's going on. This is War Master. I thought it was nicely presented.
So did you prefer the handy cam or the fixed cam?
I preferred the handy cam.
Okay, well, that's what we'll have to do.
But we'd have to ask the listeners over what they preferred. I felt the handy cam was like an eye view of focusing the attention on what's happening.
Right.
Personally.
Okay.
I mean, I'm a big fan of Guerrilla Miniature Games, you know, the YouTube channel, and that's how Ash records all of his games. Is he plays the game with one hand and films it with the other.
So talking about YouTube fellas, you know the geek scenic gamers or what?
I bought another little pack today. Yeah.
Because he did these little YouTube videos of scenery and stuff. He builds scenery, doesn't he?
Luke's Affordable Painting Service.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
What, his original business?
His channel, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Hey, it's not cheap, is it? The little bag of red sand was like £6.
Yeah, but it's
easy, though. It's all there for you straight away.
Yeah. It's like, I don't base anything any other way now. Like,
well, you just buy little bags of red sand?
No. Like, the pre-mixed flock.
So, I understand flock, but like, These kind of colours, wasn't that you put your sand on and then you just paint the sand there?
Yeah, but it doesn't look realistic to life, does it? The look he achieves with these mixed bags is fantastic. It's just,
isn't the sand one colour? You don't need it multi-tonal. You're gonna have to dry brush it up or something.
You haven't got to do anything.
You haven't got to do anything.
It looks like the ground.
Yeah.
From a distance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really? Right. Maybe it's worth £6 a bag then. Maybe I'm just cheating myself.
Well, probably are, aren't you? I mean, you'll turn around and say, I could do it myself better, but you won't.
I tried it. Yeah. It's a pain in the arse. It never dried. I put food colouring in sand. It never fucking dried. It was there for months. It just wouldn't dry. Yes, that didn't work. And it stained the pot I put it in. My wife wasn't very happy.
Like, considering how little hassle it is to do and the effect it gives.
Geek Scenic, yeah? That's what you use.
Geek Scenic Gaming. Right. Yeah. Is that right, Gary? That's the right name.
I think it is.
Yeah. Gamer Ready
Scenic. Well, that's definitely what it says on the back. And also, I was having a discussion about the... Because people are getting well into their fucking little pre-made shit. Like, none of this old school now. All this... they have this static dispenser for Flock. And they were raving about how good this fucking static dispenser for Flock is.
Static
and that
dispenser?
So you kind of, it's like a sieve.
Oh, right, yes.
You've got to put an electric charge through the base at the same time as your sprinkling. So you try to juggle two contacts that are touching your PVA glue at the same time as your sprinkling. You've got enough hands to do it.
And then it's like...
It does work, but it's...
But what effect do you get?
It's like the grass stands up.
Yeah, the grass stands up there because the electricity passes through the flock, so it sticks up properly on its ends.
So and it stays stood up in the PVA. So anyway, so when it's like, so you get this, and then you use two or three different colours of flock. It's like, fucking hell, man, how long are you spending on the base? It's like, Jesus.
Faces and faces.
Faces and faces.
Back, sack and crack, is it? Faces and faces. It was funny that talking about that, Steve's army had one kind of centrepiece model that drew your eye. So he had the Warhawks, but they had reverse colour. They had darker colours on the outside of the wingtips and then lighter towards the middle. And it was like crazily good effective. It was like black, grey, white. It was a really simple thing, but it kind of drew your eye to the army. I'm sure that's why Jim gave it to him.
Yeah.
Because it was so effective. Because the rest of the army is just like triads and stuff, like tree type looking stuff. So that's what you're saying, just have like one centerpiece, like one face that draws you in, and then the base, and the rest of the model doesn't matter.
That makes you stand out, I think.
Yeah.
I find bases are the most difficult thing to paint, though.
But as in using these pre-made pots of stuff.
What, base? They've got face pots up there. No. So I've been painting some like Marvel Crisis miniatures. Not that I've got metal ones, so I'm not buying these £25 of bloody miniature plastics.
Oh.
I saw one today though. Star Lord is £25 for a single plastic fucking 30mm miniature.
Yeah, they sold in packs of two.
No, Star Lord's on his own. What is this? Yeah. And there was two for like 45. I was like, come on, man, come on.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm painting the Punisher up, and I've got to do his eyes, and it's like, how the fuck do you paint eyes in? This is too small.
He's just stood in the shade. Yeah. Just dark eyes.
So I've been trying to learn how to paint eyes, and it's like, this is ridiculous. You literally have to dab a dot.
And as he end up staring? Is he like...
He looks like he's gone mad, doesn't he? Like, one eye's like looking off to the left, and the other eye's like...
Like, oh,
dear. Like the guy from the Adam Sandler film with the boss eyes. Painting eyes is just not fun.
It's impossible. But then you watch someone who's an expert on YouTube and it looks so easy.
Yeah.
With the iris in and the pupil and everything.
Iris, yeah. He's got a little bloodshot eye.
A little white dwarf reflection as well.
So the older I get, my eyes are fucked now, so I've got like double vision permanently. So I'm having to use a magnifying glass with a light on to kind of paint with. But my hands are shaking so much now, it's like, I must as well just fucking close my eyes and stand up.
Yeah, you should paint on a train like I do. It probably counts you out. So I in my job, I've been painting on the train to on the
so
way.
So you're not painting eyes on the train, man.
No. Like I've learned like there are some things you can do on a train, and there are some things you can't do on a train. But inking and dry brushing, you can do that on a train.
Yeah, I guess. So eyes. So there is no secret to doing eyes now, because you talk about doing faces. That just eyes are just ridiculous. I don't do it, but it's only for like a single character model. I'm not painting eyes on like troopers. Forget about it.
You're talking about like character skin tones, because I realised like obviously I paint like skin tone as like using a combination of GW paints that I know that look gives a nice effect, but of course it all gives like a Caucasian look, and so like in like Game of Thrones, like a list I painted up recently. like the Bloody Mamas are not all would be different skin tones. They're not all going to be Westerosi or anything any of them are.
Right.
But then I don't know how to paint skin tones another way. So I've been experimenting around with different other skin tones, try and get a different look of a range of skin tones. And it's interesting, it's like challenging myself, as in like, I'm not gonna go paint them all so they are Caucasian. I'm trying to paint like different ethnic backgrounds.
I've probably got more skin tone paints than any other paint. I've got 3 skin tone contrast paints. They all look the fucking same over a white own undercoat.
Well, I found that like, I miss it. Like, I don't highlight some. It gives a different effect.
Right.
Here's base like shade highlight. But this one I'm just going to base and shade it. I'm not going to highlight it to give it, because it's in the unit. It gives a different look to the skin.
GW do a dark brown skin tone now as well.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it's called. And then I found, I don't have that, but I have a similar dark brown. And then if you use a Caucasian flesh tone mixed with it to highlight up.
Yeah.
Then you can get quite a nice.
Yeah, some have worked, some haven't, and it's just something I'm trying to do. Like, also I painted a unit of poor fellows, and of course they're the poor of King's Landing. They are all going to be like Western, like Caucasian, either.
I'm not going to be clean either.
No,
are they?
Not even clean. Like, they're definitely very dirty.
I say what I did see today. You see, he had some rust medium on the.
Oh
on the
yeah, I saw this. Yeah. So, instant rust effect on the paint.
It looked good.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah. But I don't really want my stuff all rusty.
Well, if you were playing orcs, you would.
But maybe.
Or Death Guard.
Death Guard.
Like, yeah, but I see all these people, they kind of dirty it up and scratch it up and chip it up. It's like, yeah, fucking hell, man. You've got too much time on your hands, Gary. Get another project on the go. Get it tabletop and move on. Like Rid, he paints an army a week when he gets going.
He can do, yeah.
Crazy. Crazy bastard. Anyway, alright, we'll wrap it up. We're nearly home.
There was one more thing.
Oh, go on, Gary, sorry.
You mentioned how good the prize pack was.
Whose prize pack?
Your prize pack.
Alright, okay. Well, it wasn't really from me, but the player pack.
Yeah.
The player pack. The RPG Prince. They were the guys that did something for you, weren't they?
Yeah, thanks very much.
Wasn't it like the power rankings? He gave away some stuff.
Yeah.
And then John's always amazing, John Cromarty Forge. I mean, he reckons that I kind of paved the way a little bit for him to be able to do his Kickstarters and stuff, but I really didn't do much. And the amount of shit he puts out, do you see his sculpting? It's incredible. I mean, it's not just him either. There's so many sculptors now. It's like, you really, there is no army you can't play now for lack of miniatures. It's not like the olden days where you had to be like Jim and you had to have one army that proxied for 6 different armies.
Is there a Beastman range out?
There was a Eureka Beastman range. But you mean, is there a...
Is there like a
3D printer?
3D printed one, yeah. I've seen some images, but I don't think it's out yet.
Really?
I think so.
The thing, I just can't keep up with it. I find it's not stressful. It's just like, it's fucking exhausting just to keep up. And like, once you get into this printing stuff, where do you store all these fucking files?
Yeah.
And they take like gigs and gigs and gigs of storage, and you've got all this. You think, I'm sure I had a fucking. And then you spend your whole life clicking through trying to find where everything's fucking stored.
You go back off to Thingiverse and just download it again.
Yeah. It's like, and you just find yourself buying STLs that you're never even going to fucking use. Like,
and you know that when you're buying them.
Yeah. This is the latest Ancolor one that apparently there was a cease and desist over. I would not be keeping up. I always kind of, I bought all his epic stuff. There's not in the list for these fellas. Why the fuck am I buying these?
Oh, the Grey Knights. Isn't.
Well, it's only a fiver. Yeah, €5. And they're nice looking miniatures. But it's like, I haven't even bothered downloading because I can't even be bothered printing them because there's nothing to play with them.
You can download them now.
Yeah. Well, you're like, hey?
Yeah,
I paid for them.
Yeah, but Games Workshop has said no.
Oh, that's a fair point.
Yeah.
Well. Not that I get my money back.
I've already downloaded. I didn't download mine yet either.
You haven't downloaded yours either. Oh, shit. Yeah. There's 2 of us have paid for it.
I don't even know if I wanted them, really. I was just I was giving him the money to sort of...
So keep him going.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, one,
yeah.
I'm not, that's not my project, but do another one.
The other thing is that it's like €5 to get them now, and if you don't get them now, it's like €30 to get them in the next match. Mm. Not that you could get these ones now, apparently, because they're going for a burden, according to Gary and Paul, with a cease and desist. So, I'll have to find somebody to send me the files. I've paid for them, I just haven't downloaded them. I do that a lot with, especially these pay a dollar. Have you seen these ones? Pay what you want.
Yeah.
So, I've got two PLA printers, both of which are perpetually fucking broken. And I just can't find the time and energy to keep fixing them. I've spent quite a lot of money, way more than on resin. I've probably spent like £300 on resin. I've probably spent about £500 on PLA, and I just can't keep the fucking things running. But I keep buying these ones, and I never even get down to downloading them because there's no point. Even if I download them, I can't print them because they're too big for the resin beds. Whatever. Anyway, if you get into this 3D printer, just keep it under control, man. If my laptop breaks, I've lost all the stuff, and then you think, oh, I'll store it somewhere else. But there's so many of them, I'd have to buy another laptop to store it. Because you're talking about hundreds of gigs of files.
Yeah.
What world we live in. Oh. But anyway, this was episode 169, I think, with Paul and Gary and Barry. We'll see you next time.
Business.
Bye.
Would you like to know more?